This is Leaders in the Trenches, and your host today is Jean Hammett.
Hey, Dr. Liz, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jean. How are you today?
I am fantastic. I'm excited to talk to you about some very special stuff around leadership. So I've already let our audience know a little bit about you, so I want them to hear in your own words about you and about who you serve.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for asking. So I work with leaders across the Fortune 500, primarily top-level senior leaders and their teams. And our focus always is on doing their best work, elevating performance, being more effective, making the right decisions, and getting the right things done.
Well, big topic here. There's a lot of executives and leaders listening in to Leaders in the Trenches. So I'm ready to expose some things that you've discovered in your work so that we can help these people grow.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to do that.
So we were talking before we cut on this recorder a little bit about the transition point. So people that are growing into new roles in their business, you work a lot with these leadership teams, right?
I do. I work with individual leaders, and often as part and parcel of that, I help them pull together their teams, whether it's a matter of hiring new people, you know, reorganizing the team, or even if the exact same team stays into place, ensuring that the team gets to know them quickly and well, understands their vision and their direction, and that the team really has some good ground rules for working with one another most effectively.
Well, let's talk about that. Those transition points to the next level. I'm assuming this can be for any of us, right? It can be the actual CEO, the top leader of the company, ready to move into a new type of leadership or maybe roll out a new division or a new product or anything related to raising their game to that next level.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be anything. It can be, you know, going in. It could be a parallel move. So maybe you are a VP or a CEO in one company, and then you enter a new organization. And while it might not be a different title, you've got a whole new set of challenges and a whole new set of people to start to influence and get to know and have impact with. So yeah, transitions have all different shapes and sizes.
So what do you think gets in the way of someone who's been successful? They're going along with their career, and then all of a sudden they start to doubt themselves, but they're called upon to take the next promotion or that next thing in business.
Yeah, it's really a timely question because it's something that I work with frequently when I'm working with my clients around transition. And, you know, I think what happens is this, you know, people are in a role for a certain period of time, and sometimes it's not that long. I mean, people are called on to transition quite frequently and rapidly at this point in the companies I work with. But nonetheless, you know, you get to know where your strengths are. And so let's say you are somebody who is in a technical role of some sort. Maybe you are in the IT space, or you're in a scientific role and you've risen to a leadership level based upon your technical knowledge and expertise. And so in these Fortune 500 companies, you might come in as a technician, and then they say, well, you're really great at that. I want you to start managing people. And well, you've done a nice job managing people. So now I want you to be a leader of, you know, a number of managers and so on. And so at each step, you're pushed a little farther and farther beyond your intrinsic comfort zone. You know, you have to try new things. You have to interact with people in a different way. You have to communicate at a higher level. You know, sometimes you get to a point where you are being asked to transition into a role that is exciting, but intimidating, because you're needing to use certain leadership skills and traits and attributes that you just haven't maybe learned that well yet, or you just don't know are sitting there within you waiting to come out.
Now, we mentioned the comfort zone, and I feel like there's so much conversation around this that people begin to take it for granted. Like, you know, I'm stretching myself. I'm growing. Everything's fine. Can you tell us from your background, because you have a doctor of psychology, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So you have a very unique perspective around this, and maybe even some research that you've used or been exposed to around comfort zone. Can you share with us that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you from my experience, both, you know, my early years in career where I was only working as a clinician, so a psychologist in private practice, and then throughout my years working as an advisor, a trusted advisor, and consultant and coach, that this idea of comfort zone, although it's a phrase we've heard many, many times, it almost starts to lose its meaning after a while. There really is a lot of validity behind it. You know, for each of us, we grow up seeing ourselves in a certain way based on our relationships with the family around us, the teachers that we have, the friends that we interact with. And over the course of time, the degree of comfort that we have trying new things, behaving in new ways, it can stretch based on our experiences and our successes and what we've learned and our jobs and so on. But who we are, you know, at our core, the level of confidence that we have, all of that tends to start pretty young. And so as you're being stretched into broader roles and you have to take on new challenges and kind of show your stuff in different ways, sometimes you have to take a deep breath and move forward even when you don't have full confidence that you can do something. And I often will tell my clients, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of fake it till you make it. If you step tall and you have poise and presence and you show people that you know what you're doing, it doesn't matter how scared or nervous or uncomfortable you feel on the inside, people will see how confident you're coming across on the outside. And sometimes the self-confidence catches up to that.
Well, when you mentioned take a deep breath, and I noticed you've got a book coming out too soon, right?
Yes, that's right. Called Slow Down to Speed Up.
They're kind of synonymous, right? Take that deep breath to slow down for a second, to get really intentional about what's about to happen as you grow. Is that?
Absolutely. And it's taking that deep breath in kind of large symbolic ways, you know, so you're on the cusp of a promotion or taking a new bigger job. And so, yeah, you know, sort of you have to get out of the worry place in your head, slow down, breathe, get yourself calm and excited and ready to go. But this is also something that you can do on a daily basis. So let's say you have to go in front of the CEO or the board and you've not done it before, you haven't done it recently, or you're talking about a very important new initiative. Well, don't run in there from the last meeting that you know, that was halfway down the building and show up out of breath and worried and frazzled. Build in time that you are sitting in your office uninterrupted, literally taking a pause and taking a breath, reviewing your key message points. And that way, when you show up, you are poised and calm and self-confident and ready to engender the confidence of the people around you.
Now, do you find in corporate America that it's getting harder to do that, to slow down?
It's very difficult. I mean, I will not sugarcoat it. It's very difficult. We are living in a world where people have never felt more rushed. The expectation for business leaders and their teams is that they do more and get better, faster results with fewer resources and more quickly than ever before. And people are running around, you know, as if there's a fire everywhere. And it's not a sustainable model. It's not a growth model. It's not good for business. It's not good for customers. And it's not good for individuals. So yes, it is a challenge. It is not an insurmountable challenge, but it most surely is a challenge.
So what do you work with? Because we all know those people. Either you're one of them or you know someone who is just so driving hard in everything they do. Hustle, hustle, hustle. 16, 18 hour days. I've been there before. But what do you do with a client who just completely resists that, Dr. Liz?
Well, you know, listen, some clients do resist that. And I will say that clients who are very resistant are difficult to help. I mean, if somebody is basically says nothing you say will work because life is impossible, I certainly will do what I can to help them see it a different way. But there are people who really don't want help, honestly. But for those who do want help, where there's even a glimmer of, gee, you know, life could be better. I could have a little bit more time home with my family and friends. I could feel less stressed. I could get to the gym a couple of times a week. I could help deal with this kind of growing ulcer, literally or figuratively. And so for those folks, what I help them do is certainly even in the time that they have with me, it is what I call a forced pause, right? Like you have to take an hour with me. We have it in our calendar. And what are we going to do? We're going to look very closely at what are your priorities? What are you trying to achieve? And what are the actions that will most quickly get you to your end goal? When you start with that in mind, then you start going back and you can do this very tactically. You look at your calendar and say, okay, what on my calendar today is going to help me reach my goals more quickly? What are the things that I can take off? And by taking them off, I'm deciding a couple of things. Am I deciding, is this something that I have to do or someone else can do? There are a lot of times that my leaders can start delegating, you know, meetings and PowerPoints and presentations to people on their team and help them develop. So take it off your plate, give it to somebody else. And another question you want to ask is the question of when. Is it something that gets done now? Is it something that gets done later? Is it something that gets done never? And you just take it off your plate. And by taking that pause, you literally are freening up like a half hour, an hour, a half a day at a time to be doing really high impact strategic things to help you, your organization move forward much more rapidly.
Well, I appreciate you say that. And there's a lot of similarities between what I do for entrepreneurial leaders and what you're doing with Fortune 500 leaders. And that's one reason why I had you on here, for a new perspective. And one of those things that you mentioned in there, in the words I use, is what are we going to stop doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And literally, this is just like, look, it's not all going to get done. What are we going to stop doing? And then the next one you said was prioritization. It's like really looking at the things that are most important for the business. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because it's really, you know, kind of in alignment with the way I work with my clients. When you are doing this with clients, do you ever have to work on the inner game much? Because being a psychologist is probably hard not to be looking for those words not said and those things that aren't actually verbal. They are shifts in their small little body movements. Are you looking for those things when you're working with clients?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I always make a very important distinction between therapy and, you know, being a trusted advisor or executive coach. And it is a very important distinction. That said, you know, I'm a psychologist by training, right? So that's what I bring to the work. I'm able to work at this sort of intersection of my expertise in people and behavior and kind of that inner world and bridging the gap so people can meet with professional and commercial success. And so, yes, the inner game is essential. And I can give you a real quick example. You know, I have a senior executive that I've been working with for a couple of years now, and we started working together around a transition. And, you know, she came into a role, and she's in a healthcare organization, you know, a multi-billion dollar company, where suddenly the people that she was interacting with as peers were people that had formerly been her superiors. And these were very powerful people and very bold in the way they asserted themselves. And what she didn't realize was that she wasn't stepping up her game enough. She wasn't being bold and assertive and confident and, you know, getting her voice out there, because her inner world was one in which hierarchy was essential, that authority reigned supreme. And as we spoke, we learned that she grew up in a military family. Her dad was a military man, a very authoritarian figure. And so that kind of childhood, you know, those running tapes of I should just be quiet because somebody more powerful is in the room, really, those tapes were holding her back. And so we worked together for her to uncover that and to be able to push past it. Talk about pushing out of your comfort zone. It wasn't going to change. She saw the world the same way, but she acknowledged it and she could say, yeah, that's not the way I'm going to play here, because I can't be successful. My team can't be successful unless I realize that I have just as much power, authority, and right to be here as anybody else.
It's amazing how powerful the inner game comes into play with the work we do.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I know a lot of it's strategy. Everyone wants to focus on strategy, but when you're working with the inner game, do you have different kinds of modality to get people to see how they're behaving and how they're showing up?
Sure. Well, there are a few things. I mean, one is, I think, just simply the power of pausing to have some conversation and to gain insights through discussion. I mean, I think that's incredibly powerful stuff that people often don't take the time to do, because they are often in such a rush to get things off their to-do list and get things off their plate. I think to give people, hold up a mirror at times, to give them insights into the impact they're having on the people around them is a very valuable thing. So sometimes I will, when I'm beginning the work with a new executive, I'll say, you know, well, listen, why don't I speak with, you know, 8 or 10 people who know you well, with whom you work closely, and I can give you some insights into the themes of how you're coming across and are you effective in other places where maybe you want to change your style or your approach a little bit. And that kind of feedback is very valuable. You don't have to do anything with it if you don't want to, but it's certainly important to know what the perception is of what kind of a leader you are and how impactful you are. And you also get a sense of how much of that inner stuff is getting projected outward. Are people seeing that you're nervous, that you're uncomfortable, that you don't feel ready for the new role? Well, you kind of want to know if that's the image that's coming across, and that way you can modify your approach.
So we've talked about comfort zone. We've talked about transition points. We've talked about the inner game. Are there other areas that we really haven't touched on that's part of your, let's say, bag of tricks, your toolbox, when you're working with executives to perform at the highest levels possible?
Yeah, well, so let me tell you very briefly about the model that I like to use with my clients. And it is in my new book, my Slow Down to Speed Up. And it's called Pause, Reflect, Project, PRP. And pause is exactly what we've been talking about. Pause to kind of assess where you are, where you've been, you know, what have been the pivotal decisions you've made and what were the pivotal experiences that got you where you are today. Reflect is taking the time to look at, you know, what do you bring to the table? You know, whether you're an executive or an entrepreneur or simply somebody trying to live an effective life, you know, what are your strengths? What do you do best? What do you love to do? And frankly, where are the gaps? What are the things that might be holding you back from being as effective and successful as you possibly can be? Once you identify the gaps, you also can figure out, how do I fill those in? You know, do I need more skills and knowledge? Do I need to have some accountability or some guidance from a mentor or a coach? You know, do I need to address some of those kind of inner demons that are holding me back and making me feel less confident and effective as I can be? So that's PR, pause, reflect, and then P, Gene, it's all about taking action, right? So once you've done all that thoughtful reflection and you've hit the pause button, you've taken a break, then you have to create a plan for, you know, how are you going to reach your goal? You've identified what you want to achieve. How are you going to get there? Who will help you? What will your timelines be? What might get in your way, and how do you solve for that?
I love having models because it helps us kind of relate things. And the way you describe it, it seems like you've done this before.
Just a few times. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you just a couple more questions before we wind this down. And one of them really is, why executives? Like, why do you work with these high-performing leaders to help them perform at another level? Because you could choose to work with anyone you wanted to.
It's a great question. I love working with executives because, for a few reasons. I mean, first of all, all of the people I work with, I feel very fortunate. They are motivated. They want to take action. They want to get things done. They're certainly bright as can be. So I'm working with smart, motivated, interesting people. And they're people who can impact not only their own personal success and maybe their family's level of success, but they impact people who work all around them within an organization. So my clients, you know, they might be working in an organization that's a $60 to $100 billion company with, you know, tens or even hundreds of thousands of employees. So a leader at a high level, the decisions they make, the culture they set, the inspiration that they bring has impact on many, many people, on many people's happiness, success, forward momentum, as well as the people they serve, customers, clients, patients. I do a lot of work in healthcare. So I love working with executives because they're bright, they're motivated, and the impact that we have is not only on them, but it is broad, wide, and deep.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you sharing that, because looking at why you do this, it really helps us understand who you are. So what would be practical and actionable for our guests that are listening in today to do in their own business if they want to have a higher level of performance?
So I think what they can do is to write down PRP. And write down what it stands for, pause, reflect, project, and start doing it. You know, take time, take a deliberate pause in the action. And that might be an hour of the day. It might be, you know, half of a Sunday. It might be a few days away from your business altogether for a real strategic deep dive. And take the time to think through, you know, where you are and how you got there. Think about where you want to go. Consider who you are, what you bring, why you bring it. Find the places where you might have to fill in some gaps and set a plan for filling them in, and then create a dynamic plan for getting from where you are today to where you want to be.
Well, I appreciate coming back to the framework, because repetition is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, if our audience wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, that's a great question, Gene. There's a few ways. Of course, they can go to my website, which is Bywater, and that's spelled B-Y water, just like it sounds, bywaterconsultinggroup.com. You can certainly follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Liz Bywater. People can feel free to check me out on LinkedIn. There's a whole lot of ways. And certainly keep your eyes open in 2017 for my new book, Slow Down to Speed Up.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing so much with us about what's going on with the executive realm and how you're serving there. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks, Gene. I had a great time.
I hope you're loving Leaders in the Trenches and the guests we have on the show. It is all for you to create new strategies for your business. You can't do the same things over and over and expect new results. Your success depends on it. Tell us what your key takeaways are for this episode. Put them in the comments at leadersinthetrenches.com. Find this episode and join in. Love the show? Give us a rating on iTunes. It will take you about 2 minutes. This is easy. Go to leadersinthetrenches.com/iTunes. Thanks for listening in.